episode 68 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is January 19th, 2012. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and this is the real rock and roller, James Furlough.
Woohoo!
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, it's a Saturday morning, just doing a little tech podcast, that's all.
Yeah, yeah. Being totally late, by the way.
Jeez, well,
man.
I had five minutes. My dog is just like in and out. Had an amazing shower in the sense that I was thinking deep thoughts and I got lost in time.
Oh, yeah.
So what was supposed to only be like, you know, 10-minute shower turned to be a little bit longer. So, but those thoughts were awesome and no, I'm not going to share them live.
All right.
Because they're not even remotely related to technology.
Well, since we do talk about technology, and that's what we do every week, we talk about technology and the continuing corporate opera. That's what we're going to do. And by corporate opera, we mean the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and the technology they are developing. But before we get into the heart of the show, James has a short disclosure he wants to throw at us.
Yes, I do. I work for HP. However, during this podcast, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinion.
Cool. If you want to follow us throughout the week, we appreciate it. I have a Twitter account. My Twitter handle is at Matthew D. Furlough.
And I am at James Furlough.
Nice. Those are our actual personal accounts, so you get all sorts of cool thoughts. But if you want to just follow the tech podcast, that has a Twitter as well. The handle there is at Furlough Bros. If you need any information about that sort of thing, you know, like contact, whatever, go to furloughbros.com. That's the main webpage, the main site. That's our dealio. That's what we do.
Which, just on the website, just so you know, the way that it is currently structured, and it might change in the future, depends on how much energy I have. We are doing the main podcast, and then it's feed style, you know, reverse chronological or newest on top, whatever. And so after we do the main show, the full live show, there are then the individual show cuts afterwards. They're a lot smaller posts. There's no pictures, so you'd be very obvious that it's part of a series, hopefully. So when you go, you'll be like, oh, okay. I think I get it.
Yes, we'll cover that. I guess it's a good point to cover. So if you've been listening to the show and you've been thinking, wow, 2 hours is a really long time to listen to you guys, what the heck is wrong with you, man? Get a longer attention span. But we listened to your complaints, and we decided to do something about it. So basically, we take the show now, and we cut it up into short, itty-bitty, bite-sized bits where we talk about, you know, kind of subjects, and there's no hard division on any of them or why we do what we do, but we're just trying to make it easier to consume for our listeners, and hopefully y'all enjoy that. We've got different feeds for the different shows and stuff, so go ahead and check it out. If you have somebody that, like, you know, you did listen to it, and they're like, you know, I really like the show, but it just is too long, and I have the attention span of a gnat, so I need something a little bit easier. Well, you can tell them. Share with your friends. This is, like, this super easy. There's all sorts of interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so
super easy, which is nice. And we got it on iTunes and like a regular feed and all that stuff. And it's posting to Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff. So anyways, enough of that administrative stuff.
Yes.
Let's talk tech.
Okay.
I got good news for me. You don't care.
Yeah.
But it's good news for me. AT&T is finally expanding FaceTime over all of their different data options.
Woohoo!
Yes! Yeah, I love the way that they spun it, where they were like, so we've been doing our slow rollout gradually to ensure minimal service impact. And, you know, and now we're happy to announce that everyone who has a data plan is now able to use FaceTime. Which I'm like, if that was your original intention, you should have been a whole lot more clear about that at the beginning, and I don't think people would have hated you as much. So
yeah, it's
the fact that they didn't say that, it's just kind of like, all right, cool, classic corporate spin, love it. But hey, you know what? I'm not complaining. And like, I forget, they were like, in a few months, it'll start rolling out. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, it's not quite here yet, but it's coming, so awesome. So I can live my dream. My dream, okay, is to be on top of, actually, this, my dream has nothing to do with AT&T now that I think about it, on top of the Eiffel Tower, which AT&T has no service there anyways. But anyways. No, no, not Eiffel Tower. Yeah, that's the one in Paris, right? Yeah, not the Empire State Building. Eiffel Tower. To be on top of the Eiffel Tower, FaceTiming somebody, looking at a small screen instead of out at the majestic beauty that's before me. Just so I can simply go, na-na-na-na-na, look where I'm at. But
you've been to the top of the Eiffel Tower, right?
I have been to the top, and I have pictures.
It's like terrifyingly high, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I am. So here's what's scary about that is, or how do I want to say this? I don't have – I got to think of how I want to characterize this. I have a slight fear of heights. Okay, I'm not anywhere where you are, right? I mean, I can – you go up a ladder and you start freaking out. I can do that just fine. I can stand on the edge of something and I'm okay. But, you know, I get a little like, okay, let me think twice about this before I step out. You know, when I'm 3, 4, 5 stories up out in the open. Eiffel Tower is a bunch of like metal rods everywhere. And for a large majority of it, you can see straight through to the ground. And that is not a small structure. and when the wind blows, it blows right through it, which actually they say is nice because it doesn't wiggle because the wind just, you know, passes through. Which I was like, oh, that's good. But they do have like, I'm going to call it sheet metal. They would probably argue it's something thicker than that. But they have sheet metal like on the floors, and depending on where you walk, you can actually bounce. Boom, 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 boom. And the second the first one did that, I wasn't having fun anymore. I was like, oh, man, things are moving
over.
The wind is blowing, and I can see, and okay, all right. And my wife, she was the one where she was like, this is fine, no big a deal. Yeah, it was awesome. So I have been there, and it is tall.
So this is a random tangent on a tangent, but have you ever seen it, the toothpick Eiffel Tower? Where somebody made a scale model of the Eiffel Tower of toothpicks?
I have. I have actually met the man who made that because we have a shared physics professor who is a friend with him.
Stealing my thunder, dog. Stealing my thunder.
I'm sorry.
I actually – so do you remember why you met Professor King?
Because he came to the class to –
Do you remember why he came to the class?
Because
that physics class
teacher invited him?
He was trying to
– I don't know.
He was inviting students – to come check out the University of the Pacific, the school he taught, in order to come in. And that was actually my first introduction to the University of the Pacific. For those of you who don't realize this, I am an alumni of the UOP, which I will be going back to after the show, which I'm actually a little bit excited about. Not excited about Stockton, but definitely excited about UOP. Sorry, it's not UOP anymore. It's Pacific because University of Physics – or Physics. That'd be a pretty cool university. University of Phoenix stole our name, and then we sued them, and they paid us tons of money to keep it.
But that's a totally different opera.
Yeah, exactly. No. This is interesting. I actually wanted to get this is coming back around to technology. So one of the reasons
let's keep going.
Why Mr. King is pretty cool is because he was at our school we had like, you know, we've got all of every university has their security protections and stuff. Well, Professor King was like he was our computer science guy and he was like super smart and he did all sorts of cool design stuff for, you know, designing different superclusters and he built he modeled something like a 60,000 node supercomputer so you could write code that would execute on just this one computer but would execute like it were a supercomputer, so it would take a really, really long time. But it allowed all of our students to actually like practice super threading and stuff. You know, super multi threading. And He our school like did what were those called? Co-ops, like internships for all the engineers. And all the different companies would come, send representatives who would interview, and then the professors would take them out to lunch. And one year the CIA, I think it was, showed up and were recruiting students. And it was Professor King's job to take them out to lunch, and so they started chatting about stuff and they were asking him questions questions about the different things, securities that he had set up. It turns out Pacific had one of the most advanced security systems for honeypotting hackers and protecting students. Like, a firewall that was just insane when it came to different, you know, different schools. It was just, like, unheard of. They really, Yeah, he was brilliant, it turns out. So brilliant that the federal government ended up hiring him and taking him from Pacific so that he could do security systems for the CIA and the FBI and the NSA. And holy cow! I was like, oh, he's one of those types of guys. Like, I thought he just built Eiffel Towers out of toothpicks, but turns out he was, like, super brilliant.
Turns out.
So it was really cool. Wow. He's one of my... I unfortunately didn't actually get to take a class from him because by the time I decided I wanted to get into, you know, to turn my head towards computer science, he was getting hired by the federal government. But a lot, and there were a lot of students who were like, were in their like fourth year that were like third or fourth year. They were like, the reason I came to this school was because of Professor King. Like, he's leaving. It wasn't, but, interesting story that,
that is cool.
Yeah.
And that is why AT&T is allowing me to make FaceTime calls in Paris.
Yeah, see, I thought I was like, I'll bring it back around to technology, but I don't know if I can bring it all the way back to AT&T.
That's right. I took care of it. It was seamless. I don't think anybody noticed.
Exactly. So, did you hear about... So there's this dude. This is such a great story. I love this. So there's this dude. He's working for a, I believe it was a securities firm. No. It was during a security, he was a critical infrastructures company. So this is a firm that works with critical infrastructures. And there's a security audit that basically, this dude worked from home. And they ended up giving him a 2-point authentication for VPNing. So for those of you who don't have to deal with this, when you want to connect to an internal network, you use a VPN. It's all secure and stuff. And the 2-point security is one is your password, and the other is usually a little dongle, like a USB drive that you plug into your computer that gives you access. And it's a way of, you know, added security, which we'll actually get back around to later in the show. And so the idea was this guy was working from home, and he was doing all sorts of work. And during a security audit, they were checking, and all of a sudden they realized that his computer was pinging them from Shanghai, China. And they were like, what the heck? Why are we getting stuff from Shanghai? And so they weren't sure if it was hackers or if for some reason he was routing his IP address through Shanghai, but it wasn't good, so they decided to look into it. And it turns out it was like legitimate traffic from Shanghai, and they couldn't figure out why. So they went further, and they were able to look at this guy's computer activity, and they got permission to look at his particular habits. And as they were looking for it, they realized at some point that he had FedExed his authentication token to Shanghai. Because he had outsourced all of his work to programmers in Shanghai.
Yes!
It was awesome. So this guy basically hired these programmers at a sixth of his six-figure salary to do his work for him. And his daily routine was 9 a.m., arrive and surf Reddit for a couple hours, watch cat videos, 11:30, take lunch, 1 p.m., eBay time, 2-ish, Facebook updates and LinkedIn, 4:30, end of day, update email to management, 5 p.m., go home. So this guy was just crazy. And this is the best part. So because he's outsourcing all of his work to this group in Shanghai, in his performance assessment by the firm's human resources department, he was the firm's top coder for many quarters and was considered an expert in C, C++, Perl, Java, Ruby, PHP, and Python. they were not pleased when they realized that this was going on. And the worst part about it was, you know, if it works for one company and it doesn't take any time, why not do it for three or four? So this dude was working for like, yeah. So further investigation found the enterprising Bob, which is his pseudonym here, had actually taken jobs with other firms and had outsourced that work too, netting him hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit, as well as lots of time to hang around on the internet, messaging boards, and checking for new Detective Mitten videos. Genius.
That's amazing.
Genius. I just thought it was like, you know, oh, the way of the world. But yeah, pretty clever. Pretty clever little ruse he'd got going there. One of those.
I hope they hired those people.
Yeah, seriously. That's what they're upset about, is that it's not that they're not upset that they were doing the work for him. They're upset because there's all that profit that should have been going to them. Why do we need managers if we have you? We're going to have to get rid of you or the managers. And since you were doing it behind our backs.
That's just so interesting, too. Like, just the way that the world, you know, is all coalescing. It's like the world is becoming flatter,
yeah.
Clearly, you know, where someone like this can do that. But it's also becoming flatter at an uneven rate, you know. And so someone like him, who he could take advantage of that, you know, because he, in this particular situation, figured out faster than his company did,
yeah,
you know, how to do something like that. I don't know. That's just fascinating. I know freelancers will do things like that all the time, where they will. You know, if you're writing an article or a research paper, you will have someone else do all of the research for you and then compile it, and then you'll just take that final and, you know, write your article or do whatever you're going to do, you know, with the final results. And, I mean, in some ways, that's a partial, I've totally blanked on the word that's called outsourcing.
Right.
You know, that's a partial outsourcing of your job, and that's totally cool and okay. That's a little. I'll put it in unethical territory.
I'm gonna say I don't know if I. Well, I think what's interesting about this one to me is it's. I think the biggest problem here was it was a securities issue. He's working with critical infrastructure, and it's and he's been giving like these high security.
Yeah, there's that, but I mean, he was not being. You know, transparent with his managers and his companies on what he was doing. What he should have said was, hey guys, I'm a genius and I figured out how to do this job for a lot less. Let me manage this team.
Right.
You know what I mean? You may not have been able to say it like that, but there should have been a way where he could have, you know, worked in how to do that. And, you know, and then he gets put in charge of a team and is legitimately making that money. But I get too that he didn't actually want to work. And,
right.
You know, so that's whereas if he was managing a team, he would actually have to.
Well, yeah, they would have given 100 people until he was busy.
Yeah, but that's interesting. That is very interesting, though, the way that technology allows us to do that kind of stuff. That's cool.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, you know, in the sense that it allows us to do it. The way in which he went about it, uncool.
Yeah.
But I like the
hilarious
idea.
And brilliant, but not cool.
Man. That's funny.
Man, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, gosh, if you could make $1 million over the next 3 years and not have to do any work. See, this is an interesting ethical question. You could make $1 million for getting work done that you're supposed to get done. You got to work for four different companies. You have to lie to all four of them about this, but this team of, you know, outsourced groups will do the work for you, and you get to profit $300K a year for 3 years. Would you do it?
You know, there are things in life that are more important than money.
It's true.
And being unethical, or I should say being ethical, is one of those. It's not for me. It's not just how much you earn; it's how you earn it too. I think is important. There are certain things that that society deems legally appropriate that I am unwilling to do, and you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess I'm thinking way too hard about this.
No, I was gonna say,
I wouldn't do it.
I'm gonna see. I was gonna say, you know, for me, I guess I would have a difficult time. I would have a difficult time doing it, but I would have a really difficult time not spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to do it ethically.
Yes.
It definitely. It definitely causes me pause to think, man, is there a way that I could make this system work for me? Because that sounds pretty awesome. I mean, I realize that all that you essentially, but yeah, but you know, part of the game is that you're. I don't know. And what's really weird is that it's probably something that we'll have to deal with by the time we're 50. Because, you know, the reality of it is, like, you know, as you know, you telecommute from home. Is there any particular reason why, you know, if somebody was smarter than you, you couldn't outsource it? Have you ever seen that, and there was an Onion video that was right on par with this, where there were, like, people outsourcing their work to people in India, and then they were talking about how, like, in classic Onion fashion, they took an almost real idea and took it to its ludicrous extreme, and how, like, okay, the people in India were then outsourcing it to people in Ethiopia who were less fortunate than them, and so and then they got back to how, like, they, and then the experts, the year 2016, all of Earth's output will be done by the poorest man in the world who lives in this country, and his name is, give us a name. Like, a classic Onion. But it was just, you know, this is supposed to be ludicrous 5 years ago, and here we are, like, this is actually happening, which makes you wonder, is it going to get to the point where, you know, well, for example, what's the name of the company? One of the big trends right now to move away from call centers is to, you know, you got these big buildings with a lot of power and a lot of employees in India, and people in America are, you know, I don't like talking to people from India. They don't, you know, they don't speak English good. And, right. And man, that was, anyways, but, you know, so one of the moves is to move to, companies where each tech support person is trained, but they're technically their own employee working out of their home, and so they all telecommute in, and they're all organized through this central online system, so it's all very right. cloud-based and distributed, and so it actually ends up saving a lot of money, because although you're hiring Americans who are, you know, speak English fluently and without an accent. No, but it's actually cheaper because you don't have to pay for a building. You don't have to pay for benefits.
Yeah.
And it's like, it begs the question of, like, okay, so that company is able to outsource it to this distributed network. Why can't the individuals then outsource their work to, you know, to somebody else? Like, what's, you know, what you
well,
know,
this is, and I'm not saying that you can't.
Just in I'm this just case, saying, it was unethical.
You need to be transparent about it.
Right.
You need to first give credit where credit's due, and then second, you know, because that's just the right thing to do. You know, and then second is, they just need to, whoever you're working with, they just need to know, you know, where it's coming from, where does the buck actually stop, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fascinating question, though.
Yeah, and that's something that technology, like you said, is allowing us to do more and more.
Yeah.